Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
You are listening to Free on the Inside. Welcome once again. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, to challenge you to be all you could be. We're in for a great time this morning. We have a special guest on the line this morning. He's going to come to us shortly. But before we go any further, I'd just like to give you the call-in number. That number is 310-982-4126. You, too, can call into the program and be a guest on the program with your comments. I'd like to encourage you to continue to listen to this Blog Talk Network. We have my sister, my friends on Monday night. We have Mojo Talk Radio on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday nights, we have a ministry program, which is a Kingdom Call by Elder Linda Jordan. That's a prayer line ministry, and it's definitely powerful. Prayer always works in any occasion. And on Friday nights, we have a talk show format, which is a street talk dealing with our young men and women, dealing with young men and women issues. Amen. And then on Saturday, you have yours truly, Minister Joel Lewis, with Free on the Inside. And we're going to talk to our guests here in just a minute here. But this morning, we have a very special guest that's going to join us. It's Mr. Freeman. He's an independent financial agent, and he's going to talk to us about managing God's money God's way. And we'll see if we have Mr. Freeman on the line with us right now. Good morning, Mr. Freeman. You're on the net. Good morning, Mr. Freeman. Well, we don't have him right now, so I tell you what, we're going to just call him right back up. And so while we're doing that, just kick back and relax, and you're going to be blessed by our guest this morning. And we pray that you've been empowered by our guest and that you, too, can get some information from God, I guess, about making wise financial decisions. And we have our guest coming up right now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Freeman. You're on the net, Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
Well, thank you, sir, thank you for making yourself available to be on our program. I'm excited about your gifting and what you had to share with our listening audience, and I just gave you an introduction, but I would like for you to follow up on that and tell us who you are and who you're with, and why it's so important for us to be about managing God's money God's way.
Most definitely. And first, I want to definitely give thanks and honor to God for allowing me to have the knowledge and the experiences that I've gotten. Now, I haven't arrived fully yet to my full potential, but the hand was given to me to be lifted up to the level that I have and the knowledge that I've acquired, it's my responsibility to do the same and to lift others up to my position and beyond as well. So that's why I do what I do. I've been doing this. I've been in the insurance and investment industry for a little over 20 years now. And worked, have offices and clients in over three or four states. And so I've delivered this information from a secular standpoint as well as a biblical standpoint. And the most important key is how God views us and our finances and how we should actually view our finances from God's perspective. And so I kind of wanted to convey to the listeners how to build wealth from the inside out from a biblical perspective.
Amen, amen. And, you know, you really said something there, because a lot of times we go through life and we go through our finances, not managing it, not having a sense of what's going on. Not all of us, but quite a few of us do them things. And you have some steps and some basic principles that you can share with us to kind of help us navigate through this financial willingness.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Most definitely. One of the first things I wanted to talk about is how our faith and finances go hand in hand, and it's really all about our financial stewardship. And to help you understand how that is so true, if you were to look at a checkbook and really understand its significance, whether it's a checkbook or your checking account or your savings account, the monies that you've achieved through working, whether it's a business or whether it's a job, that checkbook is really a theological document. And it actually tells you who and what you actually worship based on who you're writing those checks out to or who you're spending those money to on a regular basis. You know, Matthew 6:21, it says that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's very important to for us to spend our monies wisely.
Hey, man, and that is so true. That is so true. You know, I'm very intrigued about this in the story. I think it's Luke about the talents. You know, how the king gave some servants certain amounts of talent, and they were able to invest it in the ones that hid it away. What is your philosophy and principles behind the talents and the gifting that goes along, and the responsibility that goes along with those talents?
Oh, without a doubt. That is definitely one of the stories that's included in the things that I teach. Is a story about the 10 talents where, you know, the master goes away and asks the three servants to watch over the money, gives one 10, one 5, and one 1, and tells them to take care of it and use it wisely, where the one that had the one is typically mostly like most of our community, unfortunately, where we work so hard to get the little bit of comfort, the little bit of savings, a little bit of accumulation, that we don't really do what we should do with it in order for it to grow the way God intended it to grow. And so what we'll do is we'll put it in something very conservative, extremely safe, because we don't want to lose it. But the one that had the 5 and the one that had the 10, they actually doubled their money and got 100% return between the time that the master left and the time that the master came back, because they invested it. So investing is very, very important. And so, and typically when we don't invest it properly, the little bit that we have is taken away and given to the one that has more. And so the scriptures talk about that in that story of the 10 talents. So it's very important for us to be kind of like the ant. The scriptures talk about the ant as well in Proverbs 30, about how the ant are not strong folk, but they prepare their food in the summer for the coming seasons. That is a story of investing as well. And Frederick Douglass once said years ago, a race which cannot save its earnings can never rise in the scale of civilization. So it is very, very important that we find a way to get beyond the conservative way of saving and start being progressive and taking chances in investing, because that's how you're really going to achieve your true net worth and the true worth that God has intended you to have.
And, you know, that is so true. That is so true. God, as you were sharing that and that thought pattern, and I was just realizing that a lot of us, we go through, we try to accumulate a lot of worldly things and not think mm-hmm. about the value that it may hold later on. How
right.
many times have we went about cars and clothes, you know, and garment, mm-hmm. and just to keep up with the fad and find out that those things are priceless
That's
years
right.
from now.
That's right. And is those are definitely things in our community that that keep us from achieving the heights financially that we aspire to and that God inspires us to have. You know, there's actually an intimate correlation between how we handle our money and the quality of our spiritual lives. You know, in Luke 16, it says, if therefore you have not been faithful with the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And that's saying basically, if you're not spending and saving or investing your money wisely for today as well as tomorrow, how can God ever bless you with more? And there are actually more scriptures in the Bible, more verses in the Bible on how to handle money and possessions than there really is on probably one of the most, the two of the most important things in our Christian walk with God, with Jesus, and that is on prayer. There's 500 verses on prayer and fewer than 500 on faith. Well, we only get to him in eternity through faith and prayer and belief. But why is there more scriptures on money and possessions? And that's simply because a lot of time money can take the place of God in our lives, and we can think that that's our cure-all, and it's not.
And you know, and that money, as you were saying, take possession of God. It also give us, give us self gratification. You know, it's temporal, and it's crazy to think about. We figure we have more money, we're more secure, we're more independent, we're able to do more things. But on the flip side of that, we know that all the money in the world don't satisfy a sin sick soul. We
That's
see the
right.
entertainers and the professional athletes that have the mega money, but yet they're miserable. They live in a crazy lifestyle and all kind of chaos and calamity is happening on them because they're not learning how to manage the things that God given them, not the thing that they got on their own, but it all a gift from God. But
That's
I would
right.
like for you to share with us some principles to get us started. After you share your thought about some principles,
sure.
How do we write this financial ship that we're in, that's on the rocky, that's in the rocky seas, put it that way?
Yes, definitely. Well, first of all, we have to understand the importance of knowing why God has placed wealth there for us to achieve it, for us to have it, for us to experience it. And there's really five reasons that most people don't really realize why we're supposed to have it. And we are supposed to be wealthy, but only if we do the things that God says we're supposed to do in his word. Number one, he has that wealth set up to bless us. And he says
yes.
that in his word, in 3 John 1, 2. The number two thing is to take care of your family, because we are supposed to take care of, especially us as breadwinners, as heads of the household. And as fathers, supposed to take care of our families. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it talks about that. Number three is to give to the kingdom. And we give to the kingdom in a number of ways. In 2 Corinthians 19, I believe it is, it talks about giving to the kingdom. And we're first supposed to give to the kingdom through our tithes and offerings. And then from there, we're actually supposed to be in a position where we are to help others. And that brings us to the fourth way, is to carry out our calling. You will never be able to carry out your calling and fully rise to the potential in helping build up the kingdom of God if you don't save and invest properly. And then lastly, it's just to help others. In Matthew 25, 1 through 46, it talks about that. Helping others. You have to be in a position when God places you in someone's midst while they're going through their storm. We're not supposed to just pray for them. There are very intimate times where we're actually supposed to help them financially. And you can only do that if you have your house in order financially. And so how do we get our houses in order? Well, one, you got to get with a professional. If you don't fully understand the rules of money, if you don't understand the rules of saving and investing, then you should get with a licensed professional so that they can assist you in making the right decisions and get you properly educated and teaching you the rules that the typical banks and insurance companies do not want our community to know about. Simply because that's how they make their money in us not knowing certain things. And God has a part in that, and so do we. Okay? And our part is another thing to do is to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Now there are good, there's good debt and then there's bad debt. Now good debt would be something like a mortgage, because eventually you can own it and it accrues value if you're able to maintain it. And it starts providing a, can provide a foundation for a family's legacy in the future. But bad debt would be like credit cards and some consumer loans. So we need to stay away from those as much as possible. Now, I do believe, now there are some that teach that credit cards are, you shouldn't use them at all. But the way the that things are, you may need that if you're traveling or needing to rent a vehicle or a hotel stay. So those things are kind of important, but it's all in how you use it and understand it. It's about the knowledge that you have and the understanding of the rules of the game and not just going through life haphazardly in those areas. There's a way to get out of debt. It's first thing you want to do is you definitely want to pray for the Lord's help, his guidance. And then you want to establish a written budget. You want to list everything that you own, everything that you owe, and which includes who you owe, how much you owe, and the interest rate and payments. And establish an emergency fund, because those times do come where you didn't plan on it happening, but you get a flat tire. You can't just go fix it. You have to replace the whole tire. Also, with the vehicles today, that can be pretty costly. Or if a refrigerator goes out, those emergency funds come in handy. And one thing that's really running rampant in our society is borrowing to get for, to get out of debt. Debt consolidations, there's a good way and a bad way to do that, but then there's also the payday loans. Those things are just keeping our communities further in debt, and they're popping up all over the place.
Yes, yes, and they are. And I wanted to talk on that, but keep on discussing what you're sharing. We're going to come back to that, because I'm making some notes here, and I'm going to revisit some of the things that you're sharing with us, because this is good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And then one of the things to get out of debt, a lot of times, you know, it doesn't take long to get into debt, but it's going to take a lot longer to get out of it, unfortunately. And so when that happens, when that occurs, you have to really consider earning additional income for a period of time to get yourself out of debt. And
okay.
And all earnings, if it's legal, is a blessing from God. So don't worry about what it is and how people view you. You take the initiative and take the responsibility to get yourself out of the position that you're in. And it is not designed for you to work 2 and 3 and 4 jobs for your whole entire life, because that takes away from the time that we're supposed to give to outreach and ministry work. So you're only supposed to do that for a period of time to get yourself out of debt. So again, control the use of credit cards and learn to enjoy the C word, contentment. Be content with what you have and learn how to be like the ant and save and prepare for the future. And just don't give up, because it does take time and it will be a little frustrating, but don't give up, because it does take time.
Yes, it does. And I like what you were saying, that it's not meant to be a long-term, investment in your time, when you're saying taking on maybe another job, you know, because sometimes
right.
people feel like, hey, I have to work this for years and years. But you should have an end at the beginning. You know, you say, hey, I'm only going to do this to get this bill out the way or get these financial obligations taken care of. And so, and that's
right.
a good way of thinking about it. That way it doesn't be so stressful on a person when they get up and they dread they got to go to this other job. So now I'm working
mm-hmm.
for a purpose.
Or
and, you know, you
or the family.
Yes, and the family. And, you know, you said some things that I encounter from time to time because of just where I live and the people that I know about the payday loans. I know
mm-hmm.
some people that have been invested in payday loans, and it's almost like an octopus, a legalized loan sharking. You know, once they get
That's
in,
exactly
they can't
what
get
it
out.
Is.
You know, yes. And it breaks my heart because they go there and they get so much money, they got to get that money and reborrow the same amount of money. You never can get out of those things there. When people go to pay
right.
loan, what are one of the biggest pitfalls that you were that people need to avoid when they go to pay their loan? We know that we can need some emergency cash from time to time, but some things ought to be a red flag and say, nah, I don't want to do this one here.
Well, one of the things that the biggest obstacles I've seen is just really the amount of the fees and how long it's going to take to pay it back. Now, there's always, like you said, if you haven't properly prepared for an emergency fund of your own and an emergency arises where you have to get your hands on some money and you can't borrow it from a relative, a friend or a relative, then I'm not saying that that's something that you should do is get a payday loan. But if you get it, make sure that you do your due diligence. And there are some that actually have lower interest than others. And I know because I have family members as well that have been in that position. So just make sure you do your due diligence. Don't take the first one that's sitting on the corner right around the corner from your house. Go online, do your due diligence, and make sure you're looking at the interest rate.
And that's great. That's good. Because I think a lot of times people say, I need it in that. I know this and up the street. I can get to them quicker than I can across town. But sometimes quicker isn't better, you know, when you need to do some investment and some research. So thank you. We're not advising anyone to do payday loan. But it's good to know that somebody knows, hey, wait a minute, there's another alternative. If you're going to do it, do some investing. But have you considered taking on another job? You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, here's the other thing about that. If you have been, one thing that we haven't really talked about yet is our responsibility in giving back to God in the form of tithes and offering. You know, Acts 20:35 says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm going to come back to the payday loans here in just a moment. John D. Rockefeller said, I've never would have been able to tithe on my first $1 million if I had not learned to tithe on my first paycheck, which his first paycheck was $1.50 for the week. Okay. So, and he tithed on that, understanding why it's important to do that. And the reason why it's important to do that is because you actually prepare God's blessings for you by doing that. That giving keeps your heart turned towards God. It breaks the power of selfishness. It increases our heavenly account so that when we are in a mess, when we are in a situation that we didn't plan for, instead of having to run down and get a payday loan, if we're tapped into the right source, you can go to the church as a resource and tap into the benevolent fund because they can see that you have been a very responsible child of God, and you understand and you've been operating by faith and you've been giving your tithes and offering on a regular basis. Well, that's what the benevolent fund should be for from the church. But if you haven't been giving into that on a regular basis, most times, you know, that money is not available for you. So it does, and that's one way it increases your heavenly accounting. You can bypass going to the payday loan spot and go to the real spot that God intended you to get your assistance from.
Hey, man, you know, I'm glad you put it that way because, you know, the scripture said bring all your tithe offering to the storehouse so you can have meat in time of need. And, you know, we never think about, you know, and that should be our first, not our first, but should be one of the sources that we go because if we're being faithful to our a local assembly and faithful to God, he'll meet our needs and we don't have to feel burdened or troublesome about those things. I'm glad you shared that with us because I listen to the audience and I need to hear these things also. Now tell us about
about
turning this thing around here, I'm going to keep going back to this here because a lot of us say, well, I'm in deep and I got these financial obligations. Is it ever too late to start trying to save your money for the future? Because you say, well, I'm 45, 50 years old. I done wasted all this time, and now you're telling me I need to invest for in my golden years, and I'm looking for Social Security to take care of me and my retirement, what I've been drawing off of, and it's just going to be enough to pay me up for a year or 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. When is retirement age?
Well, it's relevant. It's to the person now, because I know men that are 70 years old that are still working, and they're in good shape. So it's kind your own self. The way you see life and the way you've been taking care of yourself.
Exactly. It's retirement is not a number as far as age. Retirement is really about, first of all, saving enough to make provisions for tomorrow and creating a legacy for generations to come. And so once that amount has been achieved, then and only then can you take a look and stepping back from work and then doing ministry work. So it's very, very important that if things are done properly and in order, that some of us could retire at age 50. Some of us may have to continue to work until 70 or beyond, and that's okay. But it's never too late to continue to save or even start to save or even start to invest, because tomorrow still comes. Whether you want it to or not, it still comes, and you still have to be prepared for it.
And we're talking about investment. A person that's a novice or had never been involved in this, how would they go about seeking proper information and making wise decisions with some help regarding investments and kind of getting this thing right here? Where would you start at? Just say, hey, I need to start, but I don't know where.
Oh, that's a good question, because what we found out in my practice is that most people don't invest because they don't understand it, okay? And the scriptures say people perish for a lack of knowledge. And unfortunately, that is running rampant in our society. People are not investing and taking advantage of the opportunities to increase our stature and increase our position of ownership through investing in stock ownership, simply because we've been taught that it takes a ton of money in order to get started. Well, you want to seek out a local investment professional. You may want to ask around with your relatives or people at church to recommend someone that comes highly referred to assist in making those decisions. But that's what I do. That's what my agency does, is we actually will go out to the churches and other groups of people, and from an educational standpoint, give out information and knowledge and training so that you can actually start investing or start making better decisions in your personal investments in order to achieve the goals that you are looking to achieve. And see, there are actually should be 7 goals for investing. One, obviously, that most people believe on is planning for retirement, and that's biblical. That comes from Proverbs 30:25. You have to plan for retirement through investing, not saving. There's a distinct difference between saving and investing. Saving is putting your money aside and letting something accumulate on it, or nothing at all, that doesn't really give you any growth, such as if cost of living right now or inflation is doing 3-4%. Plus taxes on top of that, you actually should be getting at the very minimum 6.25% just for your dollar to be worth a dollar tomorrow and break even. So anything less than 6.25%, it's not investing. It's simply saving. So you have to invest in order to really more than a conservative way in order for you to gain the interest in order to be considered investing for the most part. And then the second thing is empowering your children. You're supposed to train up a child in the way that he should go, and that way he'll never depart from it. And so that's why most of our families aren't really achieving what we need to achieve in the area of investing, because we were never taught investing before we left our parents' home. And that was simply because they didn't know and they weren't taught. So that's creating that legacy by teaching that at home. 1 Timothy 5:8 talks about that. Empowering our grandchildren, because we're not just responsible for our children, but we're also responsible for our children's children. Proverbs 13:22 talks about that, in providing a legacy for generations to come. And then we're also supposed to help our elderly parents. They help us for the first 20 years or so. And in turn, we are supposed to help them because we're supposed to have more knowledge based on what they've given us or what we've acquired and what's available to us as we grow in this society today. We're in the information age, so we have more information available to us than our parents and our grandparents had. So there are things that they didn't do, not because they just didn't do them, but they just didn't know. So we're now in a position where we should be able to help them as the years go by. Then I've spoken about this several times. We're supposed to leave a legacy. You know, a lot of our men in our society, they want to make sure that they don't leave anything for the next man to come behind them. Well, that's ridiculous, simply because we're called biblically to create a legacy for generations to come. You can't take it with you, okay? You can put it in the box with you when you put it in the ground, but you still won't take it with you. It'll stay in the box while you go and transfer to some other place. So it has to be left for those behind us to continue with their standard of living and also possibly to even better their standard of living so that they can help others. Last two would be to go into ministry, because at some point or time in our lives, it's not about working a job for someone else. At some point or time, we're supposed to accumulate and amass enough wealth where we can put down the job and take our talents, go into business for ourselves, and use that as ministry work for the uplifting of God's kingdom, period. That's why we get our talents, is not just to create a job or an income or earn a check, but to literally to go into business for ourselves and do more for the kingdom and in the communities that we live in. And that's the last thing, is to start a business. You can't really have a great legacy until you learn how to start your own business, where you can create the avenue for work and income and financial survival for your household or your family or the legacy that's supposed to come behind you. Just like the Fords and the Heinzes and the Rockefellers. Now, a lot of us won't ever achieve those heights, but there are still a lot of opportunities out there. And so leaving a legacy is important. Again, Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." So something is terribly wrong when a man's most effective avenue of material provision for his family is only his death through life insurance. And that's another thing that's important, life insurance. Because when you haven't properly planned through investing and saving, then you definitely should make sure that your family is properly insured with life insurance.
And that is so true, because how many times have we heard of family being devastated because of an untimely death of a loved one or even a close family member, and we're just stretched out for cash, you know, because it's something that happened, and then we don't have the money, but we need to know that our loved one is being properly taken care of.
Exactly.
And so that is something we need to do, because we don't want to leave a burden or hardship on the ones that's behind. You said we should leave a legacy, a positive legacy, you know, to help the next generation. I like some of the things that you were saying regarding investing in yourself and also being giving back to the kingdom. Because you can't have one without the other. I kept hearing you say that, you know, using those terms interchangeable. Because as God bless you to be a blessing to God's people. And I see that you kept using that back and forth. Because sometimes we get into the mindset that, hey, I got mine, now you need to get yours. And we know that if a person don't work, he don't eat. But we should be able to encourage them and make provision. Because a lot of times we don't go to the jails. We don't go to the street ministry. But we should be able to support those type ministries.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what it's for. You know, and just through our tithes and offerings, that's the key. And obviously, that's not the ceiling of our giving. That's the floor. That's where we should start, the tenth of our gross. And giving the tithes and offerings, it's simply worship. And it demonstrates our obedience, and it also demonstrates our love for what God, who He is and who He has been and will be for us. So this is just very important to do that.
Yes. And, you know, not straying away from our topic here, but some the smaller churches, they figure that the tithe and offerings are only using for the upkeep of the church. And rightfully it's right, but a lot of times it should be used for the ministry work. But if you only could pay your light bill and water bill, so be it. So sometimes people say, well, it's only doing this or that. So and that's because we're not being faithful to the things that God put to our hands to do. And I'm hearing you say that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I've experienced times where there's not enough money to pay all the bills. I've had family members. I'll use my brother. I'll leave him nameless, but I'll use my brother as an example. He has become a great man of God, and it's simply he's learned that through his giving. When he couldn't pay his light bill, when he couldn't pay his car payment, he's always paid his tithes and offering. And somehow, some way, the Lord works out a way for those things to get done. But when he does not pay the tithes and offering, he's constantly behind. There's not enough to go around to last until the next payday for food, for transportation, for utilities, for the things that the family needs. And it's been proven time and time again. If you really test God, you know, some people believe that we're not supposed to test God. No, we're supposed to test God. He wants us to. And then the best way He wants us to test Him is by giving Him our tithes and our offering. I guarantee you, if you do that for a period of time and you do it wholeheartedly, with a heart of thanksgiving, everything starts to change financially.
You know what? I'm so glad to hear you say that, there, because we struggle with those things. I struggle with them, and I'm just like everyone else. Sometimes we bounce, oh, if I do this or that. But you're saying that you got to be faithful on that end. I love that. You said, regardless of what's going on, you got to be faithful, because we serve a faithful God.
That's right.
Yeah, I love that. I like the way you put it, because someone needs to hear that. Now, our young people, this has been a great topic. I want to thank you there, Mr. Freeman, for being a guest on the program. The number you can call in to add to the conversation, just ask some questions, is 310-982-4126. And Mr. Freeman is an independent financial agent, and he's just sharing with us using God's money, God's way. The topic is God's money, God's way. But I wanted to talk about our young men and women. Before we get out of here, before this show comes to an end, our young people are growing up in a society of get what you can while you can, get the name brand stuff, giving very little thoughts on investment, whether it's financial or even self-investment, because investment goes both ways. You got to invest in yourself. You know, the money and stuff, but if you don't invest on how to take care of that money, you're going to lose it. So what are some of the things that we can do as individual people and as a community to help navigate our young men and women that we encounter, that we see on a regular basis, to let them know that that it's more to life than what they are just seeing in right now, what they're receiving right now.
Most definitely. That conversation has to take place in two places. One at home with the parents, mothers and fathers, conveying the proper message to their children about how to properly manage their finances. Because a lot of our young adults, they want to have the top name brands. Well, if the top name brands cost you $100 to $200 per item, when you can go and not pay full price, wait until it's on sale, or not get it at all and downgrade from the top name brand and save the other $50. If you have $100 to spend, you don't have to spend the whole $100. Get something that's $50, take the other $50 and save it. If you bought a car and now you want it to look better than it was when you bought it. So now a lot of times in our community, one of the most expensive items that we have are our cars. And then on top of the cars would be our sound systems and our wheels. Well, those are depreciating items. It doesn't create wealth by no means. All it does is it gives a perspective to others that, hey, I've got a great system, I've got great-looking wheels to go on my car. And we can't see the wheels as we're driving down the road, so it's not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of those watching us roll by. So instead of paying thousands of dollars for these wheels or thousands of dollars for these sound systems, we should be putting those thousands of dollars into our personal investment so that we can create wealth for ourselves and those that are coming behind us. Instead of going out and getting the, my wife loves those expensive purses, but when we travel or even when we're just here in the city, if it's time for a purchase, I never pay full price for anything. I'm always looking for the best price. Everything goes on sale one time or another. So if they're going to eventually sell it on sale, why not wait for the sale to purchase it instead of buying it full price? Now, there are things in life that you have to pay full price for, and that's success. You can't bypass paying full price there. But as far as your purchasing dollars, you do not have to pay full price for everything that's out there. And so we've got to start teaching that and how to be inconspicuous with our clothing, with our shoes, with our cars, with our sound systems, and be more adept to investing and saving for the future.
And that is so true. That is so true, because when I was growing up, I had relatives, uncles, and cousins that after they got older age and after they took care of the family, they would go out and they would buy them a nice car toward the end of their life because they could afford it. Mm. And now I see young guys that are 20 years old going out buying them top-line car and they did nothing mm-hmm. to try to prove it. I said, oh, man, that's kind of backwards. You know, you're doing
yeah,
this here
yeah.
at an early age to wait until you mature, your kids in college, your house is paid off.
Yeah.
And you know,
that,
so,
exactly because, right, Pastor. Exactly yeah, right. See, our young adults are actually wearing and driving their kids' college education and their retirement plans. And they don't know it because they've never been taught that. See,
and it's so true. It's so true. I like the way you put that. I like the way you put that they weren't and driving a college education. And so that's something I'm going to use. I do juvenile ministry, and one thing that I do, I have a teaching segment we talk about biblical principles and life application. What do the Bible say?
Okay.
What is the world doing? You know, what profit a man to gain the whole world? And these young kids, they're entrepreneurs. They know how to go out and make this money.
Mm-hmm.
But look where it got
mm-hmm.
them, you know. And you consider
right.
doing
exactly.
something different. And, you know, and I like that. I like that. But one thing about it, too, that we're as an adult before we knew better, we didn't do better because we kind of spoiled our young people because we didn't want them to kind of go through what we went through. Oh, I didn't.
Right.
I only had one. You know, we had raggedy clothes, and our shoes was for 2 years. We wore the same shoes, and now when
mm-hmm.
our little daughters and our sons need a pair of shoes, we don't hesitate to go up there and buy them the name brand because we're living through them, and it's kind of a disservice. And I'm fouled up, you know, and it happened to me too until I realized, hey, I'm doing my kids a disservice because they don't realize the value of things. Because sometimes you buy stuff and you say, where's that at? Oh, I lost it. What you lost? That thing cost $300 and you left it somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. See, too often our people, our black people, too often seek wealth to have enjoyment, you know,
yes.
to buy pleasure. Where other cultures, they actually seek wealth to gain more power. There's a big difference between power and pleasure. And since power lasts longer, that's why other cultures have gained control of practically everything, and we're behind. So we've got to change our mindset on building wealth and security and legacies for our families and our spending habits. We've got to change them and learn to start investing and saving for the times that are to come.
And that is so true. That's so true. Because even here in Dallas, and we can't, and the rest of the country probably following suit, that a lot of our businesses, we love cars, we love nice wheels, but we're very seldom that you can find a black-owned, black operation of a tie shop,
mm-hmm.
or
that's
nails.
Right.
You know, we love to get our nails done, women-wise.
That's right.
By the hair. But we go somewhere else, and they invest in the money because they hire their own people. That could be us hiring
mm-hmm.
our own people. Get
exactly.
uncle and auntie and cousin and baby brother jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we invest in other
people. Or the neighbors.
Yeah. You know, and it's terrible. And we see that and we say, well, that's just where it goes. It don't have to go that way.
No, it does not. And it doesn't. But we've got to teach it differently. And I know our time's running out, but there's something you just hit a point that I wanted to cover real quick. And it's about how our dollar actually circulates in our community before it's spent outside of our community.
Okay,
and
go right ahead.
I know it's not a black or white issue, but this is the information I'm getting ready to give now. It's really all about the understanding, the knowledge of what happens to our spending dollars, okay? So understand that. I'll preface that, what I'm about to say, with that statement. So let's take a look at it real quick. If you look at how many days our spending dollar stays in our community before it goes out of our community into someone else's, here's the reality. The Asian dollar stays within the Asian community. It circulates 28 days before it goes out of its community. The Jewish dollar circulates 19 days in its community before it goes out of its community. The white dollar circulates 17 days before it goes outside of its community. Guess how long the black dollar circulates before it leaves our community?
It had to be less than 17 days. And I figure maybe about 10 days.
How about 6 hours?
What? You kidding me?
Six hours. And with that happening, the black consumer spending, and this is not just happening here in Dallas, it's happening all over the country in the black community because of a lack of knowledge. The black consumers are spending 93% of our monies, our wealth, our power, outside of our communities, where other cultures are reaping the benefit of their own incomes, plus 93% of ours, so double incomes basically, almost 100% of their own and 93% of ours. That's why in the Dallas Met Fort Worth, in the Dallas area alone, you can look at the southern sector and tell that there's a huge difference in the southern sector and the north sector.
Yes,
all
is,
the big
is.
Malls on the north side of town, all the big stores, expensive stores on the north side of town, all the huge homes, for the most part, on the north side of town. But the southern sector is being, you know, depreciating in value at a huge rate, where all the stores and the malls are closing down and moving away or to the other side of town. And that's simply because there are not enough of the black consumer spending dollars staying in the black community or in the South sector.
Now, Mr. Freeman, now you kind of blow my mind when you said that that 6 hour. Are we actually taking our dollars and going to the other side of town and spending them when you said in our community? Or is it because of debt that's overlacking it? So we get a paycheck, we got to disperse and pay our debts. How is that?
It's both. It's both because we're not saving and investing properly, okay, we keep and tithing, first of all, we keep getting ourselves in a vicious circle where we get ourselves in a position where we accumulate debt. Well, when you accumulate debt, you have less dollars available to do the saving and investing. So those dollars that are left over for saving and investing, instead of doing it in our community, we're taking it across town. And so we're spending it on debt, which all those companies, they're not based in our communities, in our hoods. They're based on the north side of town.
Yes.
So we're spending it all on the north side of town. So, yes, 6 hours may actually be, you know, it may actually be 3 hours. But it's definitely hours. Yes.
That's mind-boggling because I know people get their check, and me personally, you know, when I used to get my check, I had to rush across town. I got to pay a bill, and you're right about that. I get that
that's
thing
right.
Drops in there, and then 4 hours later, I'm broke. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You know, you really hit on something. How can we stop that? I know we just shared it, but we got a few more minutes. Let's go back over this again. How can we stop that and keep more money in our pocket, in our community, and giving more to building up of the kingdom and paying our financial obligation to God, which is our tithe and offering? As brief words as possible, how can we write this thing?
First thing first. Give back to God what He's allowed you to manage, because everything we have is not ours anyway, it's His. So once we give Him His tenth and start there, now don't stop there, but give Him His tenth, then that's where the good things start to happen. And so that's the first thing. Second thing is we have to save, and we also have to invest. We have to save in an emergency fund for the emergency situations, but we have to invest for the future, like the ant does, for the coming seasons, for years to come. And then we've got to learn how to properly manage our debt. Stay out of debt, get ourselves out of debt as quick as possible so we can free those monies up so that we can save and invest and be secure in our financial matters, and teach that to our young adults or our children coming up. And then be able to have monies available to help others. That's very key. Now, we would love to be able to offer additional information to help others find their way financially. And so if you'd like to have my contact information available for anyone that calls in, by all means, and it's not going to cost them anything to get the information.
Yeah, go right ahead and share that there with us.
Sure. My direct number, my name is William Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-O-N. And my phone number is 214-566-6049. And you can, I answer my phone all the time because it's very, very important that this word gets out to not just the black community, but everyone. But I am of that community. So obviously that is my, you know, that's where most of my work is done. But I'm looking to actually do this work to God's people, period.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what the color of their skin is, as long as they are a believer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I have the information that's needed and wanted in order for us to make better financial decisions.
Ms. Freeman, oh, God bless you, man. This has been a great time. We got to have you to come back again because there's so much more that we need to discuss on
this.
And we're gonna pin some things down, and we'll just spend some time talking about one particular topic. But thank you for sharing your gift with us. Now, the family, it's important for the family to come together on one accord when it comes to finances. If one person is spending and another one is saving, it's a useless point there. And so, I want, you know, like for you to address that too, because you have to be on one accord, because you might have a husband that spins and a wife that doesn't.
Yeah, that's, you know, Satan has a way, has ways of dividing and conquering. And that is one of the quickest ways of doing that, is dividing the home, the family, on financial matters. That's why it's the number one reason why most married folks get a divorce, is because of financial matters. Okay, so we've got to find a way to get on one accord. Now, there may be the husband is the head. Period. And that's not man saying that. That's God saying that.
Yes.
And so as long as he is in tune into what the scriptures are saying, everyone in the home is supposed to follow that head and his decisions. And so, and again, the key point is, as long as he is following God's decisions, his word. Now, once he's not doing that, then the mother has to step in, the wife has to step in, and do some things to secure the family's future. But when everything is in alignment, we're supposed to do what the head says, and we're supposed to say, now, the wife may be the one that saves, that has the better head for saving, and that's okay. But you guys have to make that decision that, okay, you're better at this than I am. I can walk through it with you, but let you take the brunt of the responsibility. And that's okay,
you know,
as long as that decision is made together.
Yes, it is. And you know, I do jail and prison ministry, and the men, they get out and their families are waiting for them, but their families are being scarred and hurt, and the young lady been taking care of the house for many years, and the husband comes in, and all of a sudden he wants to take over the responsibilities of the house. And I say, hey, you have to wait. You have to gain those rights back, because she said, hey, I've been doing this without you. We've been making decisions without you. And sometimes there's a little tension there. Because she's been doing it without him, and he squandered it in the past, but she didn't realize that God got a new, you know, doing something else in his life. So there's a balancing act there. And I want you to discuss that, you know, in our next setting. But am I right about that?
No, you're completely right. And that's a twofold problem. Like you said, the woman has been taking care of the responsibilities while he's been away. Or maybe he's even been there and not working. But as long as it's a godly relationship and they understand the true hierarchy of how things are supposed to occur based on God's word, and everyone is looking to take care of their responsibilities based on God's word, then it can work. Because a true woman of God is going to want to relinquish those responsibilities to her king, her Lord, and not Lord as in capital L like God our Father, but the Lord of the home that God has placed her with. Lower level, lower L, okay? So in the right scenario, she would want to give those responsibilities to him.
Yes, she do.
He should want to take over.
And she's
scared. And they should work together.
I remember how you done before. Yeah, and that's so true. Mr. Freeman, I tell you what, we got a guest on the line here that wants to ask you a financial question here, and then we want to thank you. Mr. Daniel, you're on the net.
Hello, Deacon Lewis.
Yes, how you doing?
We
have,
right?
We have Mr. Freeman on the line here. He's an independent financial agent. You have a question you want to ask him?
Okay. I need to ask you a question. Do you what do you believe in investing some of your money in the gold stocks and gold today? I hear a lot of people telling you that gold is kind of like the money of the future. You should put your funds in gold and silver. Well, what are some of your beliefs on that?
Well, that's a good question. Gold and silver definitely are precious metals that our economy, our money system is kind of founded on. So it's always good to have that as part of your portfolio. But most people really need to have, as a foundation, you need to have mutual funds. And you should have mutual funds to start out with, simply because they diminish the risk versus just strictly gold or silver or individual stocks. Because you're in a mutual fund, you can actually acquire possibly 160 different stocks and over 60 different industries in one mutual fund, portions of individual stocks. And you can do it very securely than you would purchasing those stocks individually. And as they grow, you can actually find a fund, a mutual fund, that actually has a big base in buying gold and silver. That way, again, you diversify your risk versus doing it individually and straight on as what you're asking. So there's different ways to do it. There's an efficient way of doing it, and there's a non-efficient way. Now, once you get a base going in your mutual funds, then, yeah, you can take maybe your profits every quarter or every year from that mutual fund and diversify and use that towards buying individual gold bullion and silver silver investments at that point. But the mutual fund should definitely be the base.
Okay.
Hey, man.
All right.
Well, God bless you, Brother
Thank
Daniel.
You.
We're about ready to get off this program. Thank you for that question that was asked to Mr. Freeman. Now, Ms. Freeman, thank you very much for being a guest on the show here. We're looking forward to have you to come back, and we're going to target some of the things that we'll discuss today. But I just want to give an overall view so you can kind of stir them up. And so when they see you back on here again, they say, okay, we're talking about a particular topic. So thank you. We really covered a lot of material today, and you really gave us some good information, something that we can build on. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And tell us how to contact you, and if someone would like to set up for a church or a small group, you told me that you're available. Give us some that contact number again, and we're going to see what we can do on this end to kind of correct this our financial status in our own life and in the community at large.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. Again, my name is William Freeman, and you can reach me directly at 214-566-6049. And yes, we do complete a complete analysis for individuals and their families, and we also do a seminar on the information that I've given today from a biblical perspective in churches and small groups. So we'd love to be able to partner with churches and other organizations in our communities.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We're looking forward to having you to be a guest at a later date. And you continually to do what you're doing for the glory of God. And we're going to see, can we turn these things around in our own personal life and the life of our family, friend, and loved one? Because this is something that definitely needs to be addressed from time to time. It took us a while to get this financial obligation that we have, but it's going to take a while to work it out. So thank you for letting
That's
us know
right.
that this isn't a short fix here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Amen.
God bless you. We'd like to leave you with a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for our guest this morning, Mr. Freeman, dear Lord. As he was sharing with us about our financial obligation, he was sharing with us that it all belongs to God. Dear Lord, let us be good stewards of what you're giving us, dear Lord. Let us be mindful of the future of our kids and grandkids, dear Lord. Let us be mindful that we still have a future, dear Lord. Let us be mindful that you call for us to be the head and not the tail, dear Lord, when it comes down to our finances, dear Lord. Let us stop giving our money to other people to control our future, dear Lord. Let us be able to take back what the enemy have attempted to steal. We thank you for men like Mr. Freeman, dear Lord, that steady standing on the front line, on the battlefield, encouraging God's people to be about God's business. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you, sir. We'll be talking later.
And God bless you also.
Amen. Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
Brother Daniel. Great, great. Hey, man,
uh-huh.
We got to get on out of here, man. Hey, that was a great question. We're going to bring Mr. Freeman
back.
Yeah,
talk
a little bit. We just give it an overall interview with him, man. We're going to pin some things down. And you asked him a powerful question. A lot of times we say precious metal and stuff like that, should we invest in it? And he was telling us about mutual funds, man. You get more bang for your buck, as you saying.
I've been going through something like that lately, Reverend Lewis, since I retired, you know, and I've been getting a lot of people telling me, man, I should do this and I should do that and I should do this and you should invest in that. And it gets to be kind of confusing at the time when you're trying to do all this and you're hearing different opinions from people. They're telling you, man, put your money in this and put it in. Then you get to seeing other folks getting railroaded and you don't really per se know who to trust.
And that's so true there, brother, because we need to know how, you know, and before we get out of here, man, he shared some things with me, man, that blow my mind, brother. He was talking about how the money leaves the neighborhood, man. He said the Asian money stays in their neighborhood 28 days, Jews 19 days, Caucasians stay 17 days, but our money in the black community only stays 6 hours. And I think about that, Ricky.
Where did it go?
I would have to rush. We have to pay our bills. We have to, we take our money to the other side of town. We go to the mall. We go over there to dinner and stuff. I got to think about how we rush home. I got to pay my bill for 6 o'clock. And they already got it tatted. Hey, you need to pay your bill for 6. So your money is leaving your community, going out to pay your AT&T bill, your car note or whatever it may be. And it's true, man. I got to think about how often have we paid our bill after payday and we found out we broke. We only actually had money for 6 hours. From the time that they drop it in the bank until you get it, it's only 6 hours. And it blew my mind. It's true, man.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yeah.
We only had that money for 6 hours. Then come around Monday morning, we broke again.
That's right. It's like a revolving door.
Yeah, it's so true. Brother Daniel, man, we got to get out of here, man. We our time is well spent. Man, thank you for calling in, brother. You know, the show will never be the same without you, and we're looking forward to you joining us as often as possible and looking forward to seeing you later on today. We're still on the air right now, so I'd like you to close us out in a word of prayer if you can, and we'll just talk offline and shortly, and I'm looking forward to getting with you. Okay, go ahead. It's on you now.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide us today and teach us and instruct us on how to handle our affairs. We say that everything you made, you did it for the glory of God. That means money, finances, and surpluses all trickle down from you. You give us the wisdom in order to produce and supply our families. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray for quantity in our neighborhoods to help our people prosper. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Until we meet again, man, what a great show. We had Mr. Freeman on this morning. He's an independent financial agent, and he was talking about us, God's money, God's way. We want to thank our co-host, Brother Daniel, that came in and asked a five questions. We want to thank our listening audience. We had several calls on the line, and a lot of them choose to just listen in, and that's great because we want you to be well-informed as you get ready to start your day. We're looking forward to coming back on next week and being a blessing to you and God being a blessing to us. Thank you for your support. You're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be about God's business. Be a blessing to someone. Get your financial house in order, because God have need of you.
Be free on the inside.
Have a great day and free on the inside. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your day.